So our sister's going to Honduras. And want to thank everybody that either gave of their time, their efforts, whatever, to make the barbecue plate a success. So she's going to be on her way. I think she's going to Houston first and then going to Honduras. So you all keep our sister Summers in your prayer, okay? Anything else we need to announce, honey? No? Okay. Can y'all smell the turkey already? What's that, honey? Okay, if there's a family that might be in a financial strait that needs a turkey for Thanksgiving, let us know. And the trimmings? Ooh, what's this one? And the trimmings. That's right, honey. You're right. So, it's not chicken. It's turkey. We couldn't understand why we only had chicken for Thanksgiving. So what, you know, why are we different? Pues éramos 10. So, we have turkey dinner. Yes, Idil. Yes, sir. Children 2 through 19. And the rest of us, let's get ready to hear the word. Go ahead and find Psalms 22. Psalms 22 is a messianic psalm. Two verses that really stand out in it that make it a messianic psalm is the very first verse and the 16th verse, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Down in verse 16, it says, they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. Now, you all know that this year has been a year where we've really tried to drill the message of the four-pillar church into your spirit. And the number one being, who is God? The second, who am I? Well, you can't even begin to understand who you are if you don't know who God is. Now, God is victorious. Therefore, you can't be a failure. Right? You can't, because if God is victorious, that makes you victorious as well. If God is an awesome God, what does that make you? It makes you an awesome person, because you're a reflection of your Father. So when we look at pillar number one of who is God, pillar number two, who am I? Thirdly, if I am who Scripture says that I am, and that means I have an inheritance. What is that inheritance? And the fourth pillar, what will I do with that inheritance? See, a lot of people pass on and they go into heaven. And they start, you know, receiving so much of the Father, but on the other side of the cross. But see, the promises of God are for us here and now. That's what we've got to understand. And a lot of Christians have this belief of what they're going to get, of what they're going to receive once they're in heaven. Well, all that is fine and dandy, but you're not there yet. So why not reach for every promise of God here and now? Now, a lot of ink has been wasted on Psalms 22 verse 1. A lot of books, a lot of writings have been wasted on Psalms 22 verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, Hebrews says that God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, we've heard it in a legalistic way that Psalms 22, verse 1, and only Matthew and Mark mention it. They pick it up in their gospel and they write about it. Luke and John didn't write it in theirs, but Matthew and Mark both put down, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, here's the thing. Don't lose him. That's the title of the message. Don't lose him. And in Psalms 22, it seems like the one leading this cry somehow loses him for a moment. He says, I am but a worm. And we know it's a messianic psalm, so it's Jesus. And he talks about the dogs encompassing him, the bulls of Bashan, the roaring of the lions. He mentions all of these things that have come against him. And he says, I cry in the daytime and I'm not heard. I cry in the nighttime and there is no answer for my dilemma. So all of these things that he's talking about, so don't lose God. Remember what Psalm says, that, you know, we may go through the shadow of death, but the Lord is with us. You know, death gives off so many shadows. As soon as you hear the word cancer, it starts building things around you, things around your mind, things around your belief system that may not have been there until you received that news. And now you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what's next, what step you should take, who you should call, what should you start doing and not doing anymore. So it's going through a shadow of death, but it's not death itself. But the Lord said, I am with you always. So as we look at Psalms 22, the reason why I say there's been a lot of ink wasted is because people will divert back to a legalistic way of seeing God. In other words, it's like, here's God, since the time of creation, has now waited for finally a righteous one to come and to finally just lower the boom of his anger, of his judgment. You know, it's like he'd been waiting all this time to be able to release his wrath. And now that the Son of Man is going to the cross, now it's time to release himself of all this anger and hatefulness and wanting to get even with man for all that he's done. That is somehow where you lost sight of who he is. God is good. And God is a loving God. If you're there in Psalms 22, look at verse 27. You know, I hear people talk and converse, and they talk about this group coming up and that group coming up, and now the is's and was's and will be's and all of this stuff. And even Christians are now faint at heart What are we going to do with this group? And this group's doing this, and now they're gathering with that group. Let me tell you, darkness is coming together. Areas of darkness that would never even speak to each other are now coming together for the very sake of coming against God's children. But see, you got to understand something. Look at verse 27 of Psalms 22. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. All these Gentile nations, somehow God is going to gather them to give him the due, awesome respect of his lordship. So don't get caught up with all these different groups that because of their power and because of their money and their growing in number, there's one who sits on the throne that like him there is no other. And he says the families of the nations shall come to him. Somewhere, somehow, we lose sight in that of understanding what the Lord has said. We hear bad news and, you know, so many people killed in this one incident and all these bombings and, oh man, what's this world coming to? And, you know, we just go on and on, and every time you turn the news on, it's something else. Some high school kid shooting 8, 15 people, whatever. And we lose sight of the promises of God. So yes, he starts off in Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he comes back and he says, wait a minute. All the nations, all of the families are going to turn to him, because like him, there is no other. Look at verse 31 of Psalms 22. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. So Psalms 22 is talking about the crucifixion. And he's saying, I'm raising up a generation that's going to look back, and the Spirit of the living God will come upon them and is going to induce them with truth and cause them to understand. Remember, no man calls him Lord except the Spirit of God revealed it unto him. So don't forget the working of Holy Spirit. See, it's almost like there's a break in the news of the Trinity in Psalms 22. Somehow there's a broken relationship there. God is angry. God is mad. He finally gets a righteous person. He's going to unleash all of his wrath. And that's a legalistic way of seeing it. That's not at all what happened. You can see the unity of Father, of Son, and Holy Spirit, each one doing their individual work. And he says, the work of Holy Spirit is to take a nation that will be born and take them back to be reminded of what he has done. That's exactly what verse 31 says. They will come. Everybody say, will come. So it's not over. Don't look at the evangelism of America to be something that has failed, because God has a way of turning things around in a matter of a moment. He can cause an entire nation to look at God at the same time. And that's the work of Holy Spirit. the Spirit of truth falling down upon a nation that will be born. That's us. Do you understand? He's talking about us coming to the light. That's amazing. And then he says, righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. You know, there's people here in America that don't know about the crucifixion of Jesus. But the Lord has turned nations in one single day. That's amazing. That's the work of Holy Spirit. He can do a work that we've not been able to do in evangelism for 100 years. And all of a sudden, he just comes in and turns the whole thing around. So when we look at Psalms 22, it seems like there's a broken trinity. But it's not. If you look at it legalistically, yeah, God's angry. He finally got someone to be thrown in the ring with him that he can just lay every single boom upon him. And it's his own son. So we almost see like a division there of father and son. And the son saying, okay, you know, lay it on me. Put everything on me. Every sin, transgression, iniquity, rebellion, just put it on me. And God says, finally, I can just release my wrath and let it go on someone. That's not the way it was. You will see his love. You will see his mercy. I'll never forget one time during worship, they were singing a song about the cross, and I was just weeping like a little baby. And I was saying, oh Lord, you're so good. And he said, then why are you weeping? Well, Lord, what you went through, your suffering, your pain, your agony. He said, son, I did it with joy. I had to go through what I went through to give you your pardon. So if you weep, weep for joy. Don't weep for me. I'm the resurrection. And never again have I ever sobbed in any song for that same reason, because now I have the understanding. So when you just look at Psalms 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you take it out of content, then yeah, it looks like a pretty sad point. Talking again about the dogs, the bulls of Bashan, and the lions, and I'm but a worm. When Jesus looks at himself, he says, I'm but a worm. I cry in the nighttime, you're not hearing me. I cry in the daytime, you don't listen to me. But you gotta read the content of Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and 24. What's Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Where is there weeping in that? He said, I'm your shepherd. I'll take you to green pastures. I'll cause you to lay down, you know, beside still waters. I'll feed you like you've never been fed before. Look at Psalms 23 there in, let's see. Psalms 23, look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So what does that say? That you really don't have any enemies. God's fixing you lunch. You're over here fearful of these demonic things coming against you, and the Lord's over here cooking a meal. He says, can you smell it, son? No, I can't right now, Lord. But don't worry what's around you. I am with you, and I'll never leave you. I want you to eat. That's why a good shepherd anoints with oil the head of the sheep. Because you know how all these bothersome insects and gnats, how they're all around them and they can't eat right. They're so much, you know, looking at getting this stuff off of them, they can't eat. Well, if they don't eat, they don't get fat. They don't get fat, they can't bring in a good harvest. So what the shepherd does, he puts this oil over their head that keeps the gnats away, that allows them to eat right, and then they can get plump and bring in a good harvest. See, when you're sitting there being bothered by gnats, or I should say demonic things, demonic thoughts, you're not eating right. You're not being fattened with the word. And God doesn't want that. That's why he's the good shepherd that will anoint you with oil and remove these bothersome things from your mind so that you can sit there and partake of whatever pasture he's taking you to this morning. Amen? So then, in Psalms 24, man, this is such an awesome psalm. Look at verse 7 with me. You've heard this before. We've sang about it before. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. How can you see what's coming if your head is down? We're all gatekeepers. And as gatekeepers, we're supposed to be able to see what comes in and what goes out. You can't be a very good gatekeeper if you've got your head down in the sand. You've got to have the strength to get up, as he says, you know, lift up your heads, O you gates. Something's trying to come in. You can't allow it. You have the power to restrict what comes in and what does not come in to your home. When people come to visit, you should be able to discern if they're coming with something evil or something pure. And you're able to cut it off immediately. See, a lot of us don't want to cut it off. We like that, you know, bad news stuff. And then we get all dramatic with it and we start losing our mind. I've never seen so many people faint at funerals like Hispanics. We have a box of tissue and a bottle of alcohol to bring them back to life. Oh, my kidding. And then a few days later, they're all fighting for that piece of furniture or that jewelry or whatever. That the one that was fainting? Okay, you know, where are you going to be at? And I'm going to miss you. And now, no, that's mine. Well, people are weird. Anyway, so he says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. So see, saints, we have news. When we open our gates for people to come in, we've got something to say. We have something to share. That the King of glory walks right in and is able to change people's lives. You know, it's just amazing to me how things can switch so quickly. People seem to be on a, you know, so-and-so good walk, not anything that is holding them back or restricting them. But as soon as something bad occurs, they forget about the mercies of God. They forget about the goodness of God. And I'm here to tell you that even in the worst of times, you know, when my father passed away just a couple of weeks ago, you know, you might think, well, that's your dad. But still, there's a comfort within you that says, but he's all right. He's in my hands. You don't have to worry about him anymore. He'll never be sick again. So I did bring healing. He'll never be laying down on the bed stricken anymore. He's going to walk with me the streets of gold. You don't have to worry about him losing his hearing. He's not going to be deaf anymore. The blindness of his eyes, he'll be able to see colors he's never seen before. And there's a gathering waiting for him of all the loved ones that have gone before him, waiting for his arrival, because the King of Glory has come in. So that's why, saints, he says, you know, why do you have a fear of death if it is but the door of eternity? Think about it. What enemy do we have? And if you look at death as an enemy, then you don't understand the promises of God. You don't. His promises are forever. And they begin as soon as the second passes of you leaving this world. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately. I remember when Bob Jones, now he's with the Lord, but when he was here and he had gone once and he was standing in line, Jesus was just a few people from him. And all he could hear the Lord asking is, did you learn to love? He didn't say, did you learn the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible? Did you memorize the gospel writers? Did you study the life of Christ? Did you understand the Psalms? Did you read the oldest book, Job, and understand that almost 42 chapters were things I never said? All he said was, did you learn to love? Isn't that amazing? People go and they build churches and they, you know, do all of these things for Christianity, for their faith. And yet the Lord says, all I want to know is one thing. Did you learn how to love? Do you have any enemies? You shouldn't. Except, of course, for the demonic realm. But other than the demonic realm, you should be able to walk in peace wherever you go. Doesn't matter what's happened. Doesn't matter what they've done. Look at Jesus looking down at people he had healed, people he had raised from the dead. And now they're taunting all these words against him. And he didn't say, you know, this is not fair. That's why when you read Psalms 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's a lot of ink that has been spilled over that statement. But that's looking at God through a legalistic way. But if you read the three collective psalms together, Psalms 22, 23, and 24, he's saying, look, the nations shall not be lost. America is not lost. I have her in the palm of my hand. And what I have planned for this nation, it is going to receive it. So don't let the news be blue to you. Don't let the news, you know, cause you to start thinking, well, you know, we've all said it. Where is God? Mary and Martha said it. If you only would have been here. But you weren't. So our brother didn't make it. The Lord said, no, I'm about to show you who I am. I'm the resurrection. All this time, y'all were doing all this for your brother. I'm sorry you wasted your money. Because I'm about to bring him back. And that he did. And no telling how long Lazarus lived after that. And then when Jesus resurrects, the grave starts opening up. It is so powerful of what he does that Matthew is the only one that records it, that graves out of cemeteries broke open. And these people began to evangelize on the streets. Man, that's amazing. That's the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And if he doesn't lose his power, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, why do you allow fear to come to you when you get a bad note from the doctor? When I tell you this last year has been the most trying year of my walk with God. I mean, it seemed like one thing after another. And I always told my wife, I don't want to go to the doctor because they always find something. So she said, no, you're going to have to go this time. First, it's this. And now you got this cancer. And now this is going to go next. I said, oh, hombre. And before you know it, you'll be on dialysis. And then you're going to have this. And then you're going to have that. And I'm just sticking to the promises of God, saying, Lord, if you're with me, nothing can come against me. So I'm telling you, saints, you can't lose him. When he says the dogs, you know, have surrounded me, he's talking about these dogs that move, you know, in a whole group. They know strategically where to go, where the fast ones move, where the slower ones come out, where the ones that fight, the ones that just surround. These dogs can go out and they can bring something down that is, you know, 50 times bigger than them, because they have a lot of strategy on how they move. Well, I want you to understand that that's exactly what Jesus is saying. There's been a strategy against me, and I'm here, and the dogs have compassed round about me. Then he starts talking about the bulls of Bashan, then the roaring of the lion. See, in other words, it seemed like everything brought me to this corner, to this place called Golgotha, and there's no way out. So it seems like there's a severe breaking in the Trinity. But now when you look at it in the right contents, Psalms 22, 23, 24, he says, I am the ruler of the earth. My kingdom shall come and my will be done. Doesn't matter the times. Doesn't matter what laws they bring in against Christianity. Doesn't matter what group comes up that is powerful, that is numerous, and that is rich, nothing will stop, because I'm raising up a nation that will look back and say that this was done, the crucifixion of the Son of God. So saints, fear not. The Lord is with you. And if the Lord is for you, who can be against you? Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask you, Lord, to just let it be imprinted into our hearts. That regardless, Lord, regardless of what we see, regardless of what it seems like, when our cry just doesn't seem to fall anywhere. And if it does, it falls upon ears that cannot help us. Allow us, Lord, to be reminded by the power of your Spirit that you're with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is yea and amen, and that it is the strength of our very being. So Lord, as we know that you are with us, who can be against us? To you the blessing, Lord, and to us a continual revelation that you're right there and we cannot be plucked out of your hand. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen.